3, 2, 1. From Rapid City, South Dakota, hosted by Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert, this is the Hard Rocker Podcast Network.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert. I'm here with another episode of our coaches show. First guest today is Lauren Prohaska, the Hard Rocker Volleyball head coach. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You had a little bit better weekend this weekend, obviously. Adams State, you came out, you pretty much dominated the entire match, won 3-0. What went into the team's mentality and just being able to get out to a fast start like that?
We had a really good week of practice. Whenever we play home, we get to get 4 really substantial days of practice, which, you know, when you're traveling, you don't get to recover as quickly. Like, you know, you got to turn it around, practice 3 days, and then go. So being at home can be nice for that, you know, getting back that that energy and like really have big preparation for what we're trying to do. So I felt really good about our 4 days of practice. We practiced really tough. We were able to practice pretty much everybody, which is, you know, the past few weeks it's been a little bit tougher with injuries, but practice was really tough. We had a very specific game plan against Adams. Like, they Adams can be tough, and they've done some consistent things. So we really just focused on those trends and taking them away from them. What I was really excited about was our team's application of the game plan to that team. So we just did exactly what we were supposed to do, and we did it really well. So I was really excited about that and just how we went out, followed the game plan, and also how we focused on playing our continuous level of volleyball through 3 sets instead of going kind of riding the roller coaster of up and down.
Sure. Yeah, everything was pretty much on point the whole match. The passing was good. Your percentages were like, I mean, Ali hit 522, Kara hit 600, Jenna hit 333. Mm-hmm. How much of that is due to, you know, them, and how much of that is due to, you know, Kylie just delivering great setups for them?
Yeah, I mean, I told Kylie after that match, I just was like, that was a phenomenal performance. She really delivered the ball so well and so consistently. And we had been working on a few different play sets throughout the week that we had implemented. So for her to just execute that after 4 days, I told her it was such a good job. And yeah, I think our hitters are just continuing to be low error, high percentage, and that's what we need to be doing in volleyball. But yeah, you don't get that without a great setter, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned it off air that Ali is somebody who doesn't hit the ball out of bounds ever.
Yeah.
And I mean, most of your hitters are like that too. Paisley doesn't really hit it out of bounds. They get blocked some, but they don't, I mean, they're just, their balls are pretty much always in play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Ali is just sort of a phenomenon when it comes to that. I mean, she is so talented and so smart. Her ball control is really great. You know, it's rare that you find someone with such a heavy arm who has such a fast swing that can do that over and over again without making a couple errors here and there. So, yeah, she might get blocked here and there because people are going to be all over her, but she rarely makes unforced errors. So she's been, again, that person that we rely on because we know that she's going to make it happen. And I agree, our other hitters are continuing to rise to that standard of being aware and not doing it to ourselves. Like, if we're going to lose points, it's going to be because the other team earned them, you know, or because we didn't follow the game plan.
Yeah, Jenna's another one, too. I didn't mention her, but she's very consistent as well.
Yes, Jenna has a lot of trust for me. I really believe in Jenna to be consistent, be efficient, and like I said, make it happen. I have a lot of trust in Jenna. I really felt like, especially on Saturday against Pueblo, she was struggling a little bit against their right side hitter in the block, and we needed to make that change. And going into the 5th set, it just was really clear to me that Jenna had to be the one to go back in there and do what she does, which is find a way to score. And I told her I trusted her and that she needed to go get it done. And I think Jenna has that part in her. Even when she's not playing her best match per se, she definitely knows how to really tap into what her team needs. And her team needed her to score a few points and be really consistent and error-free. And that's what she did in the fifth set on Saturday. So that was fun to watch. But yeah, tons of high trust with Jenna. I just feel like she is a really clean volleyball player.
And defensively, I mean, Hannah has been awesome all year. Even into the end of last year, she's been just able to, she gets to every ball, it seems like. Balls don't hit the floor. And then you have two middles, too, now that are in Annalise and Kiara that are really doing a good job getting contact. Whether they're getting the block or not, they're able to get touches on everything. How important has that been?
For sure. Hannah's importance in the back row is massive. You know, I told you last week her behind the service line has been deadly, and I think she could continue to prove that this weekend. And she is just one of those kids that you don't think about because you know she's going to do her job. You really don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about her, if ever. And she really proved that against some really good hitters in our opponents this weekend. And yeah, our middles in Kira and Annalise, they are just, they're learning every day. They get better every day. Their block gets better every day. I really think they're really good blockers. We are definitely not getting used as much. And that really I do think it's getting better every week, but that's huge. If your middle can make a ton of positive touches with a you know, a handful of clean blocks in there, then we're going to win a lot of games, right? As opposed to getting used on the block. Because if we're going to let our opponent score kills, it's because they're earning hard kills, right? Like wood kills where they're putting them on the ground or tips, they're finding the holes, but we don't want to get used in the box. So Annalise and Kira continue to be so clean at the net, and I think that's so important.
Sure. Talk a little bit about, you know, this probably hasn't always been the case in the past, but you really have just a number of kids who can come in and make an impact. I mean, you've seen Josie Wickersham, Rachel Mao kind of was really good on Saturday.
Yeah.
Just being able to have, you know, basically your whole roster be able to come in at different points and be able to make a positive impact.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think that anyone ever can really understand the magnitude of what a team is when you just come and watch us on Friday and Saturday. Like, we have 19 kids in our team and they all can ball, you know, and I believe in all of them to get the job done. And I would happily go through that roster to put everyone on the floor if I could, you know. If we were NAI and I could use subs, I think you'd be seeing us do a lot more subbing where we could really use people's strengths. But yeah, starting with Josie, she has completely elevated our right back defense, which is so specific, but it's such an important part of our game. Like, people don't realize how much good opponents will force the ball to one, which is back towards the right back. And Josie just does not let people score. She's just very constant. You know, she struggled a little bit on Saturday. Like, they were really kind of getting after her, and she wasn't really her true self defensively with the tips, because normally that kid picks up everything. But you know, she's got to learn, and she definitely learned through that process. And I felt like going to that fifth set, she completely elevated her game. I was like, nothing's going to score on me. And then you add in the fact that she's a very consistent passer. You know, she's always passing above a 2.0. And her serve has been very, very consistent. She's always one or two aces a match. Rarely does she make errors. You know, she's a tough server. She really is does a great job at following direction and being coached. So yeah, such a small role to the naked eye. You know, someone sees it as just a DS and right back, but it's like completely elevated our team's game. And then Rachel has been somebody that we have been back and forth. Like, Jenna can play six rotations easily, and so can Paisley, you know, but Grimmy and Rachel who DS for them in the back row just continue to do something so well that it's impossible to leave them off the floor. It's, you know, it's not because Paisley and Jenna can't, it's just because Rachel and Grimmy bring something else. And Rachel has just been really fun to watch. And, you know, for a freshman to have the kind of confidence and just like that freedom, it reminds me a lot of Hannah and just doing what you do really well and not focusing on making mistakes or errors. Like, just go and play volleyball. Like, it's like open gym. And that's what I love about the way Hannah plays. And I think Rachel brings a lot of that. I think Josie brings a lot of that. I think Grimmy brings a lot of that. Plus, she's a really tough server. So Rachel and Grimmy in those DS positions have been really important to us. I don't think that there's any question why they're on the floor. And they've done one of the biggest, most important jobs, which is make it so it's impossible for us to leave you off. And that's what they do so well.
Yeah, just watching Saturday with Rachel and Hannah on the floor at the same time was so fun to watch, because balls just wouldn't hit the floor. Totally. Ever. I mean.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I agree. Rachel does a really good job, and, you know, I don't know if middle back is her true position in terms of, like, natural feeling, but she's done a really good job fitting into that. And I agree. She compliments Hannah so well, and Grimmy compliments Hannah so well. And it's just, yeah, the defense that we bring, I'm very proud of. I do think we need a lot of work always. You know, we're always trying to get better, but I'm very proud of our defense right now.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch Emma, too. Yeah. Obviously, last year she battled with some injuries and stuff, but she's been good. I mean, she's been a difference maker this year, so it's been fun to see her kind of play like she did her freshman year a little bit.
Sure, and Grimmy is, she's a junior, so she brings a lot of that experience, and she brings a lot of that, you know, like, I got this attitude, and it's great to have that with a lineup that's very young. She really brings a ton of confidence, and she's fun. Like, she knows how to stay loose and not let things get her down, and she can joke around when we make mistakes so that it keeps everybody like, oh yeah, okay, we're okay, right? Like, we're going to lose a point here and there and we're going to be fine. So she brings a lot of that attitude, which is not natural for her. Like, she's really had to do work to grow into that role. So she's done a phenomenal job this season so far.
CSU play both Saturday it was a battle. The whole, mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty obvious early on in that first set that was going to be a tough match that was going to go back and forth, and it did. But how important was it to be able to see your team get a gritty, tough win like that early?
Oh, for sure. I mean, statistically, we didn't play super great. You know, there was things I'm just like, what are we doing? You know, that's just, it comes from nerves, and it comes from, wow, this is the first time we're being, like, really, really challenged and really close. And so, yeah, statistically, we were okay, but mentally, we were just insane. I was super proud of the way we continued to perform through challenge, you know, that up and back and forth and trading sets and trading points. It can be exhausting physically and mentally. Like, we really could have closed them down in three or in four, and we should have, but we were going back and forth. We were making too many errors to do that. So you go into a fifth set, clean slate, right? Like, who cares what just happened? It's first to 15, and that's all that matters. And we traded points the entire set. And, yeah, it was, for me, I think the most exciting part of it is when we were down, I think it was 3-1 in the beginning of the fifth set, and I was like, all right, you know, that's never a place you want to be in fifth set, because it can be daunting, especially to a young team with a lot of freshmen on the floor. And they just responded so well. And when we got back up on 3-3 and then we kept trading points, I was like, all right, like, they can handle this and they want to handle it. And when we got to 8 first and switched sides, I just felt really good about where we're at. And I just felt, I looked, you know, just looking into their eyes, you could just tell that they were okay. They weren't nervous, they weren't freaked out. It was just like, we're gonna give our best and we're gonna hope it goes our way. Like, all we can do is control our effort, and I think that's what they did. Their effort was astounding. Like, they didn't let the ball hit the floor. They made some really nice plays. The end of the fifth set, we were pretty error free, so I was really happy with just, yeah, our mental toughness and our ability to relax and not get wound up, you know, and not get too hyper, because that can happen in fifth set. And, like, if we're going to compete consistently through the fifth set, we have to be very steady, you know, and they did that well.
Yeah, and that hasn't always been the case either, especially a couple of years ago. Fifth sets were tough.
Yeah.
For the team to win. So how much growth does that show to you in just your program?
I mean, fifth sets are always tough, you know, and it goes either way. And I think a lot depends on the environment. I think a lot depends on how the past four sets went. I think a lot depends on me and how I'm reacting into that fifth set. Like, I had to remain calm just to show them that we were fine. But, yeah, we've had a lot of growth. I think it comes down to our leaders and Kylie and Hannah. And, you know, Kylie just is so, she's a calm player naturally. She's not like an overbearing energy leader. She's just like steady as it comes. And I think that really helps our young kids be like, okay, you know, let's just go play volleyball. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of it boils down to leadership. And they look at Kylie and they know she's fine. And they look at Hannah and they know, yeah, let's just go serve tough and pass well and side out and win this. So leadership to me is all where that comes into it. And then I think just our team's confidence in each other and their ability to just have each other's back. You know, I felt I sent them a little text yesterday, this graphic I saw online about, it was a quote from the Creighton volleyball coach about you having your teammates back is probably the most important thing in your culture, because when the game's 23-24, you want your best hitter to go up and rip, and you want her to know that regardless of how that ball falls, her team is going to have her back. And so I sent them that quote and I'm like, that this is how we behaved on Saturday, where our hitters, especially, and servers, but hitters went into that fifth set giving it their all. And they knew that if it didn't go their way, right, if they got blocked or if they missed small, then their team was going to still have their back. And that's the kind of culture that you want. And I think that makes a big difference. So yeah, I felt good about just like their reliability on each other and belief in each other.
And then just last thing, CSU play ball was, before the last two matches, this program had never beaten CSU play ball. Now you've beaten them twice in a row, mm-hmm. both in, you know, those kind of games. How much growth does that show, and, you know, where your program's at from when you first took it over?
Yeah, I mean, Pueblo has been a very, very good program, especially since for the past, you know, five
yeah,
years. They've been,
yeah,
for sure. They've been a top five team in the RMAC past 3 years or 4 years, I believe. So, they're a very competitive team. They continue just to, like, recruit and maintain really dominant hitters. And, you know, they're probably not as talented as they are this year than they were last year, but it doesn't matter. They still have such great hitters, and, you know, their coach does a really nice job of keeping things very tough. So they're always a battle team, right? Like, they're always, you always know they're going to battle, and they know how to win. That's for sure. So yeah, I think beating them 2 years in a row, sure, that's great. I think more importantly, it's us doing what we need to do conference wise. Like, there's teams that we have to go and beat, and getting a win like that is really important for our conference run. Like, we want to go out and compete really tough in conference and beat the teams we're supposed to beat. And I think that was one of those that we had to win. Like, it was not going to be okay for us to lose that match. So we had to go win that match. And there was, I think they knew that a little bit for sure, but, you know, regardless of how it is, we did our best, and that's all that matters. So yeah, it feels good to beat anybody. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And then this weekend, you have out-of-conference matchups in Chadron against Chadron and BH. What are you looking for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little funky to go play your two, like, quote-unquote rival teams in the first time in a non-conference match. We've already played Chadron once. We beat them, but it was a battle. And if we know anything about Chadron, is they battle. They love to just bring their best volleyball against us. And they're a really tough team, and they're having a nice season right now. They've done some good stuff. So that we got to prepare hard for them. Like, I don't care. No one cares that it's non-conference. Like, we got to go out and win games, and we got to go bring our best volleyball. So that's going to be a battle, and it's going to be fun. I think it's going to, for me, it's going to be a huge test to see if we can apply that same mental toughness that we've had into this Thursday match. So, and plus it's at home at Chadron, and, you know, Chadron, again, I'm telling you, they bring their best against us environment wise, aggressive wise. It is a tough place to play. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I've said it for years. Like, it's one of my favorite places to play in conference. They do such a great job with, like, game management and, like, bringing fans and the energy. And it's so loud. It's just a fun place to play. And I think if our girls just enjoy that and have some fun, we'll do a great job. And then obviously playing BH for the first time in a non-conference matchup, a little weird, but, whatever, right? We got to go play some volleyball. So, It'll be interesting to play them in a neutral site where the energy can't dictate momentum. Like, it needs to be all about us creating energy and tempo and all that. So that'll be fun for us. I just think for me, this is such a huge test of our team in like the grit they have and the tenacity they have. Like, how are we going to bring energy in a place that doesn't favor us, you know?
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for joining me, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our second guest today, head men's soccer coach, Bill Schaefer. Thanks for joining us today. Just talk a little bit about, you know, starting the season. There's definitely been some improvement throughout the season and, you know, from previous seasons.
Yeah, so we've got a great group of players this year. Obviously, with a roster of 34, it gives us a little more depth, which we're not used to having that. 14 new freshmen coming in, 7 of them earning starting spots. You know, they brought the standard of earning minutes, finding minutes to a new level. So all of our upperclassmen have been expected to step to that standard, and you can see that there's certain upperclassmen, like our team captains, that have embraced the change and the quality, and they're out there leading the team. And of course, obviously, when you're dealing with 7 freshmen on the field, we deal with a little bit of inexperience and maybe some nerves, and so having that strong leadership like Garrett and Hayden, even Aiden Ellis, you know, just kind of helping lead the team and pushing them forward has allowed them to find some composure on the field. And now what we're seeing is consistency. So it's been what I expected, which was very quick. A lot of coaching, a lot of training, getting the boys to be a solid unit, and then, of course, always keeping them with the fight and grit on the field. And it's not for the 45 minutes. It's getting them to fight for 90 minutes, which is something I don't know if we've had in the past seasons. And this season I see that we have 11 players that are going out and fighting for 90 minutes. And even if that results in a win or a loss, you know, they come off the field exhausted. They know they gave it their best effort, and they know they're working towards something. So I think every game we've slowly gotten better and better, more cohesive on the field. We understand what we're doing on the field. And of course, I think as far as the season's gone, our team has outperformed 90% of the teams we've played just based on how we play. We've just fallen short with some small mistakes, and that's going to come with inexperience.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're dealing with. But super proud of the whole group and super proud of the team energy and all that stuff. So that's the start of the season, I think, making sure they did a lot of team bonding, a lot of group activities, making them eat together, you know, just everything got that cohesiveness with the team. And so now there's this camaraderie and there's this belief that we're moving towards something. So,
yeah. And I think there's been, even before the 2 wins, in my eyes, I noticed a difference in that MSU Billings game. Like, that was a team that in the past couple of years has beat us pretty good. It was like 5-1 last year, and the year before I think it was like 6-2. I know we didn't come out on top, but it was a 3-0 game. It was a game that really, even the scoreline wasn't, like, you played pretty well in that game. There was a PK and a ball that just fell in the middle of the box. You know, you played well in that game, and you fought that whole 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think, again, it's those small errors. I mean, that some of the best teams on the planet have lost a game because of a small error, you know, and that's the teams that can monopolize on those small errors are the teams that will come out on top. We're that team that hasn't been given too many of those small errors from the opposing team, and, again, inexperience. And so we are fighting for every one of those wins, every one of those goals, and I think the biggest thing is when we make those small mistakes and it cost us a goal, a team can mentally break down and then just give up the game, or a team can say, hey, we have to move forward. And I think even within those mistakes, we're seeing the boys going, okay, we made it, now we got to fix it. And so that's just a mentality I don't think this team's ever had. It's always been a real, like, oh, well, we made a mistake, we're going to lose this game. So MSUB, were both of those games were ours to win. I think next year, you know, we're going to come out with a little more experience, a little more knowledge of how we want to play. Of course, with the seven freshmen, in hopes all of them return, maybe some new recruits coming in. We have some leadership returning, you know, Hayden Jaramillo, and of course we got Aiden Ellis returning as far as seniors, could really push this team over the top. I think we have always been the team that was expected to lose. We've always been the team that, oh, we're going to go against South Dakota, we get a win. I think this season coaches are now watching film on us, which they've never done. I think coaches are starting to prepare for us, which I don't think they've ever done, because we're not the team that just gives up the loss anymore. We're going to fight for every minute, and I think we saw that with Metro at halftime. That coach was not a happy camper with his team, and of course they got that one lucky, well, maybe it wasn't lucky. It was a beautiful goal on that corner. We didn't defend one mistake, but I can tell you that the coach over there was not excited about second half, and I think he thought for sure he was going to lose that game. Of course, they did come out on top. Congratulations to them, but I think we're no longer the team that's just a guaranteed win.
Yeah, you're right. That's definitely a different, and even in some of those losses, that MSU-Denver game was, up to that point, was probably the best game you played all year. I mean, you played well in that game, and you're right, the ball that went in kind of bounced around a couple times and just found a guy, and unfortunately the ball doesn't always bounce the right way in soccer.
Like I said, man, we just need one of those to go our way, but it's coming, I'm pretty sure. You know, and I think the other side of the things that we're looking at from a coaching staff or a coaching standpoint is, you know, that Metro State game, at the end of first half, we possessed the ball 60% of that half. Statistically, a team that possesses that 60% should win the game. I mean, that tells me that we are the team that has the ability to win. Unfortunately, one of our Achilles heels is finishing that ball. And I think that's been a problem with the team year after year. I think we're overcoming that slowly. I mean, and so if we can start finding the back of the net, which, again, every coach could probably say that, well, we'd win the game. Well, it is true, but we're getting there. We're getting the opportunities. We're not finishing those opportunities. And I think to beat Adams State 2-1, that's one of the first games I think we've put two goals in a long time, tells me that we're starting to think about how important that finishing is, and that we got to be that team that can't just miss every opportunity. We got to stick the ball in the back of the net. So, I think every one of those games that we have lost this year that were close, if we would have just had that little more patience, just a little more experience, those balls would have found the back of the net, and then we were talking about a totally different season. But two wins in gives these boys hope. It gives them focus. I mean, we're one win away from tying the team record. I think if anything, that's, we're past that already. I think the boys have already seen that they're able to do that. I think they're looking on, can we win four? Can we win five? Whether it happens or not, we'll see. But super optimistic with the group of boys and their fight. So
yeah, let's go back a couple games ago. Eastern New Mexico was after, you know, a pretty rough trip down to Texas and Eastern New Mexico. That's not a great trip.
It was long.
But with that long trip and then getting those guys to play and play 90 minutes in that heat and then come out with that 1-0 victory in Portales, how much confidence do you think they came away with from that game?
Well, I can tell you that Eastern New Mexico has carried a reputation this season of being very stout. They kind of wreaked some havoc within their gameplay, won some games that I think people didn't expect. Kind of got a reputation that they should have beat us. So I think stepping off of that field with a 1-0 win, of course it's going to motivate the team. They're like, wow, I mean, last year we lost to them, I think it was 3-1. So that's a huge turnaround, eye-opener for teams that we're going to play against here coming up. You know, I've had more coaches actually reach out and ask us, how'd you guys do it? You know, so I kind of chuckled. I'm like, I don't know, we showed up and played for 90 minutes. But I also think, as grueling of a trip as Texas was, we had a ton of fun on the road. And I say fun, I mean, yeah, we had some bumps and bruises, and we did stick a van in the mud. But I think those are the moments where the boys go, yeah, you know, we're doing this. We're doing this as a team. It was 18 kids that, you know, we sometimes chemistry is important. And I think those are the trips you can embrace and find that chemistry. And, you know, we did everything from playing top golf to going out and juggling on some field out in the middle of nowhere just to get the ball moving to, I think we took pictures in front of every weird thing we could find along the road, but they embraced it. And I think then they go out in the field and they're willing to take a hit for the guy next to them, and they understand. And I think when they took the field, they were ready. And then of course, when they won, I think they were in shock going, oh man, we just, yeah. So of course the trip home is always easier. You don't forget the long trip as you do, you know, if you take a loss. So I think they brought that energy back to the team. And then of course now we make that long trip over to Adams State and the same energy, you know, they're just, it's a different group of boys. We're no longer going after each other's, you know, we're not holding each other down. We're not, they're not being rude to each other there, and they're not making these little clicky groups. It's 30 guys and they're all working towards a common goal and they see it. So it's been great.
Yeah. You mentioned the Adams State game. Pretty big result there. You go down 1-0 early. Again, that's something in the past. This team goes down early, and they kind of just deflate, and then that's it, right? But they didn't do that.
Nope.
They pretty much dominated the rest of the game. I mean, you dominated in shots, like 14-5 or something like that. Especially in that second half, you came out aggressive. You got that early corner from Garrett, which is a little different. Usually it's Hayden on those corner kicks, but it was a perfect corner. I mean, delivered right to Ryan Gaughan.
Yep.
Found the back of the net. How relieving was it to, you know, have a set piece and somebody found the back of the net on it?
Well, I think I actually talked to Garrett Cole this morning. I know you interviewed him this morning, and we just kind of were talking, and he mentioned, we've never scored a goal or two goals on set pieces. So I think that was something where it's never – I always tell the boys, you know, we got to have as many bullets in the gun as possible, right? Like, and maybe that's the wrong analogy, but it's, you know, we can possess the ball, that's one. You know, we can play the long ball, that's one. Can we switch the field, that's one. And then it's always, okay, can we possess the ball in the middle third? And we start building this artillery of things that we can do compared to, hey, we can just play the long ball up the side, which is what we were known to do. We just went long up the sides and hope the ball will find the middle. Then it was, can we finish? We've worked on, you know, can we finish at the 18? Can we finish from the 6? And all these things, and we start getting good at them. And all of a sudden, it's not, we're just a team with one direction. We're a team with 6, 7, 8, 10 different ways we can win a game. And so those are the things the boys are taking with them going, well, okay, this isn't working. Let's adjust this. And so to find that we can finish a set piece is just one more thing in their artillery to say, hey, when we're in those real tight spots, something that didn't work in the past might work now. So let's make sure that free kick, that corner's clean, and it's a good service, and it's important. And now it just puts more precedence on the fact that the quality of what we do. I think sometimes when it doesn't work, something doesn't work, so you stop doing it. And so we just service the balls. We service the balls, and they don't equate to anything. Now, you know, now our service is important because we know it equates to a finish.
Yeah.
And so now we have a little more fight. And we have that in our artillery to win, and I think that's huge where a lot of teams don't have that. You know, it's like, this is what we're good at, so we stick to doing this. And, you know, something that most people didn't know about yesterday's game is we changed our formation the night before. We moved some players around that, and again, I could talk about formation, but I ain't giving that away. So changed some of our top-level players, put them in positions they never played before. To offset some starters that were out on injury, to maybe make us a little more offensive, and it worked. I mean, yeah. You said it. We had 14 shots on goal. The other team had 5, and it took a little bit of adjustment. Coaching staff sitting down. I mean, after Metro State, where we saw we could beat that team, but we were lacking some offense, we made some adjustments, and we went into Adams State, and trust me, a team, anytime you do what we did, there's nerves, and they're going, this isn't going to work, and all these things. And now they have buy-in, right? They're buying that we can make small adjustments to accommodate for the win.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned those set pieces, even the ones that haven't been falling, there's been a lot of dangerous corners put in by Hayden and put in by some other guys that haven't resulted in goals.
100%.
And then, obviously, that second, that free kick, what a ball. That was like 50 yards right on point. And you could see Zach just running the whole way. Got him, and you could see Hayden start running before he'd even hit the guy's head because he knew.
Well, you know, we did end up with the two center backs this year that are, you know, 6'3". You take 13 feet of player and you put them in the box. So you just got to find them. You know, they're gonna be able to, you know, they're gonna get in the air. And so it's something that we've never had, this just this massiveness, and so we use them, of course, in every corner and every free kick. And again, I don't think maybe Ryder knew he could do it. He just was always in there. He'd always, you know, try to put the ball in. He was a part of it. Guess what? Now he knows he can. What does that accumulate to? Well, maybe a success in a few more of those. And so, yeah, 13 feet of soccer player in the box helps.
Yeah. I think I said Zach. It was Ryder. But they've both been, I mean, I think Zach had an assist a couple games ago. Ryder's had an assist already this year. So those guys have been, I mean, talk about freshmen that come in and make an impact. Those two and Jacob Miklos and Aiden, obviously not a freshman, but those four in the back line have, I mean, we kind of talked about this, probably one of the best defensive lines you're going to see in the RMAC.
Yeah, I think we were blessed this season with the quality of the defensive line. And I mean, they have some form of a connection that they've built from playing these last, you know, whatever, 6-8 games. I think the quality that we have back there is by far, it'll be the best back line you'll see in the RMAC. And I mean, that's just watching film, you know, just talking about it. I think we have a couple players that, if, you know, everything goes right, they could be all conference off that back line. And what's really surprises me is those are probably the four most laid back, non-cocky. No, they're the spirit of the team. You know, Zach's a goofball and has tons of fun and keeps the boys motivated, but takes the game serious. Ryder's very similar in mentality. Jacob Miklos is quiet, but he's probably the most composed player on the field. He is the type of guy that mistakes are hard to find with his play, and when he does make one, he'll fix it. Like, he'll get the ball back just to prove a point, like, hey, okay, I know I made a mistake. And of course, Aiden Ellis is going to bring experience, and the guy's just so composed. So the four of them working together has been something that has allowed us to become the team that we've become, and they're just so good at building out of the back. They're so good at handling pressure, winning every 50-50 ball. There's just a quality there, and that's something I talk to the team about all the time, is that our defense can only be so consistent. You know, if they hold the game off for 95% of the time and maybe they make an error and a goal scored, that could cost us the game. So we have to be the other side of the team, which is our defense is where it's where it needs to be. But now our offense has to make up for that 5% when they make that error, right? It's going to happen. Yeah. We're not professional pro, you know, MLS players, so mistakes are going to happen. So we need that offense to say, okay, defense had a mistake. Offense, get the goal back, right? Let's even this out to 0-0. And I think that's what we're starting to get. You know, they're starting to say, hey, we're not just defense versus offense. We're a team. And so super, super happy with the back line. Even the guys that are jumping in with injuries, you know, Trent Ripley, one of our seniors, had a great game yesterday. Cody Coyer just did a phenomenal job as well, you know, with us doing some movement with some of the players. They stepped in, and we didn't miss a beat. So the quality in our back line, even in the depth of subs and things like that, phenomenal this year. So.
Yeah, 100%. It all starts with that defense. But then you have, you know, Hayden in that center mid.
Yep.
He is just a playmaker there. He can beat people off the dribble. He makes good runs. He delivers good balls. If you could just find those two guys consistently who can find the back of the net. I think that's really the missing piece right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, having Hayden and, of course, Ryan Gaughan, one of our freshmen, in that center mid now, they work very well together. They're very composed on the ball. They're great at finding that open lane into that space, playing the through ball. What we're now doing is, of course, we have these three offensive players, our two wingers, and, of course, our striker, and now it's starting to combine. And yesterday, I think, was that we've been making small adjustments throughout the season to just try to remedy the finishing problem. But first, you know, having 2 weeks to prepare is tough. So we first work the defensive line. I mean, come on, you said it. It's important. And then we start working through the middle field, and then we get to the final third, and we're there. And now we're really honing that final third, working the ball through and trying to find out which guys are going to be those playmakers. And I think you said it. I think Hayden and I think Ryan Gaughan are the guys that are going to get those balls through and find our wingers and our strikers. And now we just, you know, it's got to get in the back of the net. So, of course, you know, everybody says that, you know, yeah, well, we could have had five goals. We would have won that game. But I think the talent, the understanding's there. And, of course, having Hayden, experienced player in the middle, really helps, right? I mean, yeah. Of course, because he can help with our younger players in the middle, leadership on the field. It works really well. So. Yeah.
Then looking towards this week, you have another kind of long trip, Salt Lake City Friday, then you go to Grand Junction Sunday. What are you kind of looking to do this weekend with the beginning of RMAC play?
Oh, well, I definitely think our starting weekend is it's stout. We're going against two great competitors. I think, you know, anytime you're on the road, it's daunting for the players. You know, we're traveling 10 hours into Salt Lake, and then, of course, we're back on the field to play them at a little, you know, higher elevations and things like that. We can't make excuses. You know, that's something I think the boys have learned, that we no longer make excuses. Yesterday it was, oh, it was against Adams State. Oh, well, the elevation. Guess what? The elevation wasn't an issue. We worked through it. And so let's stop mentally. Something we talked to the boys, we've got to be mentally strong. And so I think Westminster is an opponent we can beat. I think it's an opponent that if we come out and play the game we've been playing, of course, same problem we've talked about, find the back of the net. We have a potential here to pick up that third win. So I think it's them just being ready, you know, getting them rest and recovery, getting them prepared. There's a few small things we're going to work on, you know, this week at practice, just making sure that they're where they need to be. I think Mesa's that's you know, they're a monster in the RMAC. And so, you know, last year, 0-6. So do I ever want to say, hey, we can't win? No. Do I want to go out and believe that we have the capabilities? I think we have the team that has the ability to put up the fight. I think we have the team that has the ability to surprise Mesa. I'm hoping for a better result than last year, obviously. But again, one bad mistake goes in our favor. And, you know, I don't know the statistic off the top of my head. But I know it's a massive percentage, like 70-80%. If you're the team that scores first, you're 70-80% sure you're going to win that game. Like, that's just statistically. Yes, things happen, right? Adams State. But I think if we could be that team that goes out super strong against Mesa, maybe pops one in there. One thing you find with high-level teams, they're not used to being behind. So they start coming apart. They get physical. They get abrasive to each other. And those are the moments that we can capitalize on as a team. So, tough weekend. Nervous. You know, the boys. But two wins under our belt might give us a little drive. And if I think we'll be ready. You know, we have some guys, some of our starters coming off injury this week that could really help us. So super excited about that. So I say let's throw it up in the air this weekend and see how it goes.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned that 6-0 loss. I have a tough time seeing this team losing any games this year by that kind of... I know the Lubbock Christian game was a little bit out of hand, but, I mean, MSU Billings, we talked about that earlier, that's the perfect example. Last year we got physically just outmatched by that team, and I just don't see that happening this year with, you know, those... and the defensive line. I just don't see them getting, you know, making enough mistakes to give up that 6 goals, you know. I just think it's a different team.
Yep. You know, I think, like I said earlier in the interview, I don't think we've played a team yet this season that was more skilled than the team that I have. I don't think. I don't think we've played a team that has outperformed based on possession percentages or anything like that. Every one of the teams we've gone up against this year, we had the capabilities of winning, and what lost us the games wasn't the fact that the other team beat us. We lost ourselves, and so those are the type of things that if you don't grow from, you continue to fail. And then what we've seen is growth. They're like, okay, we made this mistake, let's not do it again. I think with Mesa coming up, if we come out and we have continued to progress, they may not be ready for the team that's going to take the field. You know, I think this will be the best team we've gone against, and I think this is the best team that will kind of take us to our limits to see, are we capable of handling the pressure? And for me as a coach, it's not, oh man, if we don't win, we're not good. It's, can we go out and continue to play our game? Can we continue to keep our cohesiveness on the field, our composure, win or lose? Can we continue that train that's going to make us better? And so going against Mace, if we go up and give them a good fight, that might show us that we're capable of being in those top four or five spots. Don't know, but though these are the games that put you to the test to really see how good everything is and are the things we're doing all right. And if it comes apart, we got some things to work on. If we go out and compete and it's a good, solid game and the boys perform and we lose, you know what? Hats off to the boys. I'm telling you, these guys have the want. If we go out and we just don't play, you know, they're arguing, they're bickering, they're doing all the things they used to do. We got some more work to do as far as, you know, the cohesiveness of the team. But I just don't think that's what we have going on this season. So I'm excited. I know the boys are probably nervous, but I'm super excited. Like, if you're not, you know, let's go out and take on a big name. It'd be great. And if we did come out on top, I mean, we're no longer.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, let's have a little fun with it.
That'd be a fun conversation to have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If we do that, we're having another interview. Yeah. I'm coming back. We're going to analyze that game. It'll be big. We'll bring the team in. Yeah. It'll be big. So.
All right. I don't think I have anything else for you, Bill. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, I really appreciate it. And look forward to the rest of the season.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.